when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. I just thought of something funny. Blood River Radio may become known as like the radio station where ex-cons hang out. Like, it may call it Jailbird Radio or something. I don't know. But we have two very honorable people on who have bucked the system and they've stood up. You know what they say? The tack that stands up gets hammered down. So we have these two tacks that hammered up and spoke they were courageous, spoke their mind, stood up in the face of incredible adversity, and knowing full well that the hammer of Thor could come down on them. And that's it, but they did it anyway. And who are we talking about?
Yes, ma'am. Not the hammer of Thor. Not the hammer of Thor. Thor is one of our ancestral gods. That's true. He would have knocked down the Jews, and that, yes. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that he's a good ancestral god who stood up for our people, our people's ancient god.
I should have said the hammer of Amshal Rothschild. That's what it should have been.
There you go.
But anyway, and he's still hammering us even as we speak. But one question I just wanted to I wanted Les to make clear. He said something on the first hour about if you're in a Canadian system and you spend X amount of months without going to trial or going to have your day in court, they will release you. So Les, how much, what are the odds are you having to go back to prison if you go? Are they going to send, make that, if you have to go back to prison, how many months will they sentence you to? And what are the odds of you getting out? Just clear that up right quick, like before Sister Monica takes over, if you don't mind. Well, go ahead.
Depending on what I say on shows like this, my chances of getting out should be...
Jailbird Radio. This is Jailbird Radio, man.
Well, they mentioned your show, actually, Blood River Radio. I'm not going to say where because I'm not allowed to. But somewhere during this legal mess that I was in, I heard it mentioned, right? So anyhow, you guys are known to the bad guys, too. But my chances, I think, are pretty good that I'll stay out of jail. Since I've spent so much time in jail already, I should be okay, but you never know. This is political. Maybe the Shylocks of the world, these people haven't gotten their pound of flesh yet, they feel. Or maybe they want to, go beyond the pound of flesh and just get what they can. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the outcome here. Like I said, my lawyer said to me that he thinks the judge is kind of signaling by letting me out on bail with very few conditions. Basically, I just can't have my firearms back yet. And, the judge just told me to take it easy, basically. Like, I can go on the internet, but just watch what I say, which is what I'm doing.
And just talk about milk and cookies. Milk and cookies, that's all we're talking about.
That's what it is, milk and cookies and, good wholesome things like that, Monica. So that's what we're doing. I was watching the videos in court. I mean, I've got to say, I've done my bit, and I've named some people, we'll say. And brother, did I ever name them, and sister, Monica. I certainly named them. Like, I was actually surprised myself. I'm like, wow, I'm watching my videos, 18 of my videos, and I'm just thinking, geez, I certainly named the people that I thought were responsible. There's no doubt about that. So I've done that, and because I've been convicted of, we'll say, speech violations regarding these folks, I won't have to basically be so specific in the future. People just have to know what my charges were. and then that'll lead them to perhaps do their own research, and I won't have to, you know, do anything other than just tell people who I am when it comes to that topic. So now I can focus on the economy and on rights, like real Western rights in a Western culture, not this junk that we've been fed. So we'll see what happens.
Leslie, that's excellent how you just articulated yes. that, because I've had some discussions recently with some folks also over in the UK where they have perhaps even stricter laws than we do in Canada, which is hard to believe. But and yeah, we can talk about things that we're not allowed to talk about just by saying we are not allowed to say X, Y, and Z. And here is how that came to be, or here is the history of how why we are not allowed to talk about X, Y, and Z, whatever that may be. And in so doing, we are actually imparting some good information. But I think what you said is just really, really brilliant in that you can focus on, like, you're very good on economical matters. You, in every letter that I got from you, you would have something about how the economy can be run better, the money system and all that. And really the money system is the head of the snake, I would say.
Yes.
So that knowledge is really good. And then, so yeah, you want to make things better in Canada. And then if the people are told, yes, you did spend quite a lot of time in jail for naming those who are harming us, and that's all you need to say. Like you say, they people then can research it for themselves, and then the fact that you can just then carry on to say, look, I want to make it you know, Canada a better place. I think that, like, tip of the hat to you, tip of the hat. That is fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
You know, quick point I like to make, or a quick, like, I mean, Les, I'm just gonna chime in one thing. You said that you know, I'm kind of halfway lost on the train of thought. But by the very fact, people are not dumb. People that pay attention to you, by the very fact that we have to talk in code, just like Sister Monica says, to keep people, to keep us out of jail, the people that are listening, you said earlier that a lot of people, or maybe it was Paul said earlier, that the people in Canada actually were shocked that they did not have free speech. So I'm saying to you that by us having to speak in code, you having to speak in code, letting the people know you have to do that to keep them going to jail, they're going to say, hey, what's up with this? I thought we had free speech. So I think that further, I think it has the potential of waking people up further. I don't know. How about you, Sal? How about you, Les?
I was just going to say something just like that. Sometimes subtlety can take you a lot further than the direct approach. And this is no joke. If you look at the psychological torment that they put the people through over the last, say, even 100 years, a lot of money's gone into study things. And you'll notice that their messaging just doesn't come out and tell us things like, you know, eye to eye, you know, man to man or woman to woman. You know what I'm saying? Basically, they don't just come out and tell you straight up what they're going to do. What they do is they use subtexting, and they'll show you an entire movie. And in that movie, there might be 10 seconds of a message that has nothing to do with that movie. You know what I mean? It's just a subtle way to tell people things that they want you to, that they want us to know. They've gone very far using subtlety. And I think we can do the same. Subtlety might be the way to undo a lot of, well, not undo the harm, because a lot of people never, you know, recover from the harm that's been done to them, especially the dead vaccine victims.
Yeah. But
what we can do is we can undo the messaging, and that's their biggest weapon, is that lie. You know, one of the biggest weapons in war, if not the biggest weapon, is the lie. So if you can neutralize the lie, the weapon of the lie, and if we can do it, you know, with subtlety and keep ourselves out of trouble and still be greatly effective, we're doing quite well at that point. We're keeping ourselves out of danger to some degree, until they decide to go to, you know, extra measures to make sure that, you know, we don't speak anymore at all. But basically, it'll protect us, and we'll get a lot further ahead, Eddie. I think what you said makes a lot of sense. I think that this subtle approach could take us very far, especially when we talk about our jail experiences with people, and they can see the kind of people that we are. And we're generally speaking not the kind of people that you put in jail. You know, that's what the people in jail told me, the inmates and the guards themselves. So I don't think it's a big stretch for me to suggest this to people after, you know, having experienced these opinions firsthand from people who would know. And that's the people who were in jail with me, whether they worked there, whether they lived there. You know, they came to the same conclusions that I shouldn't be in there. So we can use the harm that the enemy's done to Monica and myself and to her brother and to others. We can use that harm against them just by stating what the harm was and why they harmed us.
Like reverse judo.
Hey, Leslie, thanks for staying over for the extra quarter, yes. And then we're going to go to the topic of Dresden after this break. But, yeah, we sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Okay, thank you so much, Leslie. Yep,
you
talking
welcome,
about judo.
I'll say goodbye to you guys then, I suppose, and we'll talk next time.
Yes, sir. I mean, anytime. Be right back, folks. We'll go with Sister Monica as soon as we come back this break.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep. And join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, Les is gone. It was a great interview we had. We had him on for an hour in the first segment of this hour. But, you know, people, we're going back, so I'll just say to you the message for this hour, really for the message of all of February, is never, ever forget Dresden. Never forget who the people were that suffered in Dresden. You need to educate yourself and find out about it, even more so than what you hear from us. Never forget who did it, who the perpetrators of Dresden were, and never forget why they did that. But never ever forget Dresden. With that, we're going to bring on Sister Braveheart. Sister Braveheart, so great to have you on tonight, Sister.
Well, thank you very much. So I have my mother's voice ringing always in my ears. She did not often speak about the war, but when she did, this always came up, and she would say, "Why Dresden? Why Dresden?" And it was just with absolute sadness, and just it, you know, she just could not believe that they would have bombed Dresden. And the type of bombing there, it goes beyond anything that anybody can imagine. It was horrendous. Now, when you said educate yourselves, Eddie, I have to add to that, do not rely on the mainstream sources or the mainstream media, because what they have done is absolutely such a slug in the gut and a slap to the face of anybody who wishes to just simply remember and you know, memorialize those who suffered the wrath of, and like you say, we must never forget who did it. So you could say the Allies bombed Dresden, but really it's the handlers of those governments, the handlers, they were Jewish. It was really a Jewish war, so was World War One. Basically all the wars are Jewish wars, but they orchestrate these wars. They get these wars to happen, and then they become brother wars. And, you know, it's Europeans fighting Europeans, or then the Americans were brought into the war. So then it's, you know, Mr. Schmidt fighting his cousin Herr Schmidt, you know, this kind of thing. So these are brother wars that have been orchestrated by the bankers, by organized Jewry, by international Jews. So that's really who did it. Now, why Dresden? Why did my mother always say this, why Dresden? And she would say, you know, there was no military target there, absolutely none. And it was filled to bursting point, Dresden was filled to bursting with refugees, and I'm talking German refugees. I'm not talking about the kind of refugees nowadays that the borders are wide open to. No, these are German refugees that were fleeing the Red Army. They were coming from points further east as the Soviets had broken through the, you know, the front lines, and they were basically running over Germany, and Germans were fleeing because the Reds, they were doing very terrible things to those who were not outright killed by bombs. And, you know, it was the largest mass rape ever, and just horrible things. You know, it was Ilya Ehrenberg who had scattered leaflets among his soldiers to kill, kill, kill. If you haven't killed a German yet, kill one. And if you've killed one, kill another, every day, kill, 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 and break the pride of their women by raping and take them as your own and take them as your booty and your loot. Like, this was the attitude that the Red Army was coming with, okay? So Dresden got turned into basically a hospital city. But I also want to tell you about Dresden having been the most unbelievably beautiful city. It was nicknamed the Florence on the Elbe. The Elbe is the river that it is on. And I would say more beautiful than anything we can possibly imagine, especially in this day and age when, you know, our architecture is really quite bland and squarish and ugly, so much of it anyway. Like the every building, every church, every place was just, it's not just structure for function, but it was beauty. Everything is art, functional art, everything. It was stunningly beautiful. And the people, by this time, this was February 1945, the war had been raging for years, and Dresden had been spared, had not been attacked. And, you know, why would it be? There's no military target. And then since it had been spared, even though many, many, many other German cities had already been targeted, also with no military targets in them, but yet they had been bombed, but Dresden had not been bombed. And so the people felt quite safe there. And in fact, February 13th, that year, 1945, that was the Tuesday, that was what we call Mardi Gras. And the people did actually go out and they went to revelry, like partying. They were out in the streets, and fushing is what it's called in Germany. Yeah, they get dressed up just like we get dressed up at Halloween, or that's the tradition here. They would really, that was a big deal there, to get dressed up for fushing and go out in the streets and party, because then the next day would be Ash Wednesday. Now, just to say, isn't that an irony, or was it really deliberate that Ash Wednesday is when the Germans were turned to ash?
Wow, completely. I never thought of that.
Yes, and so these dates are not just coincidental. And I'll just say what was done there, and I hope there are some new listeners, perhaps the regular listeners know these stories, but really it bears repeating. And like you say, Eddie, never forget, never forget. I mean, the Jews are always saying never forget about or never again is their big mantra about the Holocaust that didn't happen, the Jewish Holocaust. This was the true Holocaust, the Dresden.
Yes, yes.
And all the other cities. But this is what they did. First, they came in at 10 o'clock at night. It was dark already. And like I say, the people were out in the streets dressed up for fushing and having a good time, you could say. But it was, you know, like I say, it's stuffed to the hilts. It's not like good time in normal times. It was war. It was, you know, very hard. But still, people have in their nature the ability to still laugh and enjoy themselves, even during very difficult times. So that's what was going on. Then the bombs came. The first round was to blow apart, like blow the roofs off the buildings. It was like, what do you call that? Bombs, like just to break everything up. And then a couple of hours later, I think it was, they came in with the incendiary bombing, like to light the city on fire. Basically, they created kindling with the first round, you know, these buildings being shattered, and turn it into kindling. Then come with your fire bombers, this white phosphorus stuff and incendiary bombs. They created a firestorm that could be seen for many, 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 many miles away. The flames went so high and the winds became so horrendously strong that people and trees and things, this, you know, buildings that were turned to kindling came just rushing into the center of this inferno, because the it was high winds were created. And plus, it anybody who did go down into the bunkers, like the cellars, to get shelter from the bombing, they died quite often just from asphyxiation. The oxygen just got sucked out of everything from this windstorm, this firestorm, and the heat was so intense that a lot of the people just got completely, they were just turned into ash, like they were incinerated on the spot. Even if they weren't directly hit by a bomb, they were incinerated. The heat was so bad. And or if people did get out to run and they got stuck in the molten asphalt, and then if they fell over because they were stuck with their feet, their hands were stuck, and then spontaneous combustion. And some of the pilots actually reported that they saw flying bodies, people who were lit on fire, flying through the air in these windstorms. I mean, it was hell on earth. I don't think you could have anything that was closer to hell than what happened in Dresden, February 13th, then the 14th, and I think into the wee hours of the 15th. Because then what they did is they waited a few hours after the firestorm, and I'm not sure how many hours they waited, but they waited until all the, you know, the rescuers were starting to come in, and maybe whoever was still left alive was out trying to, you know, find, like, just fleeing. And then they came with their very low, you know, they could fly low because there were no German military planes to fight back. So they could fly very low and strafe these columns of people, or the columns of, you know, if ambulances were coming in to rescue those who were still alive, they were just killing them. Now, you cannot, nobody can say that this was, oh, just accidental, a side effect of war, like really it was military that just, oh, they missed their target and now they hit some people. No. The express purpose of this was to kill as many German people as possible. And Churchill is reputed to have said, don't give me suggestions of military targets. Give me suggestions of how we can baste 600,000 Germans from Breslau. Breslau is one of the cities east where the people were fleeing from, and they were going to and in Dresden at that time. So he expressly wanted to kill as many German people. And Churchill, he had his Jewish handlers. We know that he was a drunk and yes, not capable of anything himself. But I do hear the music, Eddie, yes, and I've gone on.
You're on fire, sister. We got to go right back to you as soon as we come back. I'll have a question or two or so, but I don't want to slow you down. Be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Israel and Hamas completing the sixth wave of hostage for prisoner exchange.
Hamas in the morning released three Israeli hostages, all men, and Israel released 369 Palestinian prisoners. It's a sign that the ceasefire deal is back on track after a tense dispute earlier in the week that threatened to derail the fragile truce.
That is correspondent Julia Frankel reporting the three hostages released by Hamas today, an American, a Russian, and a man from Argentina.
The 369 Palestinian prisoners released by Israel include 36 who were serving life sentences for deadly attacks, but the vast majority of them were Palestinians who were detained without charge following the Hamas attack on October 7, 2023.
Officials in India say yet another stampede. This one has killed an unspecified number of people at a railway station in New Delhi. More than a dozen have been hurt. Stampede occurring while thousands had gathered at the station waiting to board trains to a site for a Hindu festival in northern India. Also at townhall.com, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the time has come for the creation of, in his words, an armed forces of Europe.
Let's be honest, now we can't rule out the possibility that America might say no to Europe on issues that threaten it. Many leaders have talked about Europe that needs its own military, an army of Europe. And I...
Ukrainian President Zelensky has welcomed a phone call from President Trump, but later said it was not pleasant that Trump actually first called Russian leader Vladimir Putin about negotiations. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-504-8790. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in... Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-504-8790. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-504-8790.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth, about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I will have to admit, there's so much to be said about Dresden. We never, ever forget Dresden. But it's so emotional. I'm going to tell you people, I hope it has the effect on you did on me. When Sister Monica did incredible job, it was almost like she was there. I was teary. I mean, who, for God's sakes, could not just be just overtaken with emotion hearing what was done to our people? My God Almighty. And our people need to know this. Well, they need to know every stinking gory detail. But like Sister Monica said, in the end, we need to make this some, if there is a way, dear God, for us to use this to some positive. Like in Blood River Radio, we always talk about solutions. But I think the number one solution is we have to let these people know how much you are hated. If you're white, especially if you're a white Christian, you have no idea. If you don't know hatred, it's the most villainous, most satanic hatred on earth. The people that did the very powers that be, the unseen hand that did that to Dresden, they want to do it to you. They hate you. If you're white, they despise you with the hatred of Satan himself. And I want to start quoting Bible verses, but I'm going to shut up and go to Sister Braveheart. Go ahead, Sister Braveheart.
Well, I was just, because I said in the break, okay, but yeah, every gory detail, but we do need to leave people with a note of something that is, okay, where now? What now? I would say that to know what truly did happen is a good antidote to this absolute endless weapon that they have on us called the Holocaust, you see? So first of all, I mean, we've talked at length on this show.
Excellent.
and on many other shows about the Holocaust, that to try to impart information to the listening audience that it did not happen. Not the one that they tell us happened, the Jewish Holocaust in gas chambers. We could say, yes, 6 million lice were gassed to death with the Zyklon B, because the Germans were very good at trying to keep the typhus out of the camps, but typhus did hit the camps. That's why some people did die, and quite a few people died. You know, if you have 73,000 people dying within a few weeks in a camp, that's a lot of dead bodies, but it was not in gas chambers. So we have spent quite a bit of time to teach people about the facts about the so-called Holocaust. So when we talk about something that did happen, like Dresden, this must be used as an antidote to this forever guilt trip that they hold against us. Because when we complain or object to open borders policy, for example, they say, oh, that's racist. That's racist. And that's going to lead to the next Holocaust. You see where I'm going with this, Eddie?
Yes, absolutely.
This is why we do need to know the truth about these historical matters. Now, to go on about Dresden, I will just also tell you this, and I mentioned this early on when we started talking about it, Eddie, when you said, you know, learn about Dresden, research, research, research. And I said, yes, but be careful of the mainstream sources like Wikipedia, which is, of course, very Jewish controlled. Anything that will look badly on them, they will have their people to edit those entries and make them quite false. And so in the official numbers, they will give you numbers like, oh, 25,000 Germans. In fact, Alfred was at a Dresden memorial in Dresden a number of years ago, where they, after their own memorial with, you know, people who understand the truth, they went to the official ceremony just to see what they're saying. And there they said, oh, yes, they memorialized the 25,000 or so Germans who died. And then they went on in the next breath to save. And the next day, the remaining, you know, the Nazis, they rounded up the remaining Jews in the city to send them to the concentration camp. So in other words, look what they were doing, Eddie. They were basically conflating this downgraded number of Germans who died, because really I think it was closer to 500,000, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But they say 25,000. Now there's a orders of magnitude difference there. Even if you went with the lowest estimates that they give these days, it's an order of magnitude different. But anyway, they say 25,000 Germans died. Oh, boo-hoo, but oh, the next day those evil Germans went and did more evil and rounded up the Jews. So in other words, don't feel badly about them. Like, that's what you read between the lines when they say, well, the next day they rounded up the rest of the Jews. I kid you not, Eddie. I kid you not. Alfred was there. He witnessed this talk. That's what they said. And they also had, in the central plaza in Dresden that year, they had these buses that were on sort of, they created a like some kind of a memorial of their own, but they were upended. So can you imagine a bus vertically upended, and then some plaque there? And this was to memorialize those poor refugees from Africa who had died on the way to being rescued in some European country from, you know, because they were refugees. And so instead of letting the people actually think about the German people who were, you know, holocausted during the Dresden bombings and the many other cities who got bombed, they want the German people now to feel sorry for these African refugees who are actually a weapon against the German people. They're being brought in as a weapon. And again, it's organized Jewry who is doing this open border stuff, and Israel doesn't take in any of these refugees. No, they just assist in bringing them to Europe. So put all these stories together. That is the purpose, really, of why we do need to remember the gory details, like you say, Eddie, of Dresden. But we need to connect the dots of why is it important for us to know. It is not only so that the German people can rightfully mourn their losses. See, because right now they're not allowed to mourn their losses. They're not allowed to even acknowledge their losses, because if they acknowledge the true horror, then they're called a hater and evil Nazi racist or whatever, and they're put in jail because they're, you know, these people are telling the truth. No, so that's a double whammy. But the triple whammy then is that they are guilted about, you know, oh, these refugees are dying along the way as they're coming to Germany. You're racist if you even dare to think about anything else. I mean, all of it needs to be connected. And this is why we do this. And back to my mother's words, why Dresden? Why Dresden? You see, my mother, she did not understand the full story, because my parents, after the war, they were subjected to all this propaganda, all these lies, deceptions. And when I confronted her as a teenager and say, why didn't you do something to stop them, you know, stop them from these bad things that were going on in Germany? You should have organized, you should have done something. Well, she just said, we didn't know. We didn't know until much later. We knew there were work camps. We did not know there were any gas chambers or death camps. We didn't hear anything about that until much later. Yes, indeed, folks. You know, if you look into an Encyclopedia Britannica from the 1960s, look under H. Look under H-O-L-O. Look for Holocaust. You will not find it. In those, this got brought into the vernacular later in the 70s, I believe, or maybe the late 60s and then the 70s. And then 1978, they had that Holocaust
was that date,
TV
Monica?
Series.
What do you remember? What was that date you said in the Encyclopedia Britannica, the original, the first
date
you gave?
In the 1960s, I watched a documentary. Okay, somebody actually had a 1967 Encyclopedia Britannica, where you've got, you know, 40 volumes or 50 volumes. You know, you've got all these volumes. We used to have one in our home in Edmonton. I wish that I had kept that, or that I wish I had been awake at the time that we, you know, were dissolving the parents' home and getting rid of most of those things. And who has room for a big Encyclopedia Britannica? So we got rid of that. But I wish I had had the presence of mind to look for Holocaust in that, but I wasn't awake yet, Eddie. And now that would be just precious to me, and I would look for that, and I could show people physically that, look, it doesn't appear. So anyway, we've kind of gone from Dresden to, you know, the open borders to the hollow hoax, you know, Holocaust, hollow hoax, but the true Holocaust was Dresden and the many other cities. Any city in Germany that was more than a certain population, now I don't know if it was like over 60,000 or 100,000, I don't know, but many, many, many cities in Germany got the treatment just like Dresden, but Dresden is the most famous and it was one of the worst because of how they did it. But Hamburg got it really badly. Cologne got it really badly. And I mean, on February 16th, 1945, just a couple of days after they finished with Dresden, they went to this little town, a gingerbread town called Pforzheim, I think. And there, it was known for pottery, you know, ceramics. They bombed that half of the residents. I think there were like 67,000 people lived there. Half of them died. Can you imagine bombing a town so half of the people die? And I hear the music.
That is incredible. I'm going to comment on that when we come back. Be right back, people.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Smell of napalm in the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Ooh, Blood River Radio family. I'd like to say again, I'm probably repeating myself, but I was just telling Sister Monica, the SS Liberty shows that we do, you know, the What Happened to the United States Ship of Liberty, that's very emotional. But you know what? This is, I always get more emotional with the Dresden than I do that even. Maybe it's because more of our people died. I don't know. But, you know, to take away, before I go in and start talking about some things, I'd just like to say this. We always talk about solutions. And so, like Sister Monica said, we don't want to leave you in a gutter just so shell-shocked that you're sucking your thumb and you're just depressed. No, no. Take this information and use it, just like Sister Monica said, to counteract as an antidote against the same old lie from the same old people, the same old Jew. It's the perpetual, the ancient, endless Jew. you have to use, you can use this, these stories as an antidote, just like you can also use, you know, we talked about the USS Liberty as an antidote against the lies. And you can especially use it against these poor white people that, and I'm just going to name, we have a, name some of them, well, not by name, but we have a college here in Memphis. It's called Rhodes College. It used to be Southwestern, but they got too big for the britches. Southwestern was no longer good enough, so they had to name it Rhodes, I guess because they had Cecil Rhodes in mind. They're kind of like Harvard wannabes, wannabe Harvard, wannabe Vanderbilts, couldn't get in Vanderbilt, but they have, I'm coming to a point, they have a black lesbian preacher out there, professor, what a laugh, professor, teaching something, I don't like, Afro-American history, some kind of crap, but she has said the same thing, believe it or not, that this Jewish professor at Harvard University, I can't remember his name is not important, but they said that white people are so evil and so toxic that they need to die. And the Harvard professor said that he could not imagine why anyone would object to that, for white people being exterminated, gotten rid of because we're so evil.
Noel Ignatieff. You're talking about Noel Ignatieff, right? Yeah.
That could very well be. You know, yes. Like I said, I don't remember his name, but we, man, like this black professor we have here in Rhodes, they said the same thing. And they point out that, and these people that preach that we need to die, that white people need to die, they point out things like the Holocaust, experiments that were carried out by blacks in Alabama, at the Tuskegee Institute, whatever it was, when they injected with syphilis, and the poor blacks were mistreated and slaves, and you know, white people are just polluting the atmosphere, destroying the universe, et cetera, et cetera. But if you can incorporate what happened at Dresden, and even what happened at Waco, and what happened, in Idaho. Can't remember the name. That's a town now, where Randy Weaver and his family were killed. That does serve as an antidote. It shows just how evil the people are that have inflicted this intentional, a slaughter beyond my ability to comprehend. Can you imagine, like Sister Monica said, not only being burned alive, could you imagine the city when they firebombed Dresden, probably other cities too, I'm sure, after hearing what Sister Monica said, like Breslau being done the same way. But this asphalt actually started running like a river. It was so hot. The asphalt was running. People were getting in the asphalt, and I'm repeating this for a reason. People, and these are children, women, children, old men, and refugees that weren't even German, like Sister Monica pointed out, thousands and thousands and thousands of them. And these fighter pilots coming in and machine gunning the people when they could see them caught up in the asphalt that was running like lava. And Sister Monica said some of these people were actually blown into the air, and they're continuing to machine gun these people. And the reason I say that, machine gun the animals in the zoo. If that's not raw proof of a satanic, a hatred beyond my ability to comprehend, I couldn't do a rat that way. I could kill a rat. Yes, I could. But I couldn't burn a rat alive and just laugh at him and grin at the rat dying in misery while I did it. That's the kind of hatred that exists for our people to this day. And you know, Sister Monica, the very people, and like you said before, the men that wear the tiny hats, the very people that did that, committing mass genocide on our people in Germany, they want to get rid of us. The people I'm talking to, they hate you so much. They don't want to just kill you. They want to disintegrate you. They would like to defecate on your grave. They will want to get rid of you with any method whatsoever, be it through the COVID disease, the COVID shots that Les brought up, through the crappy food and the additives in our food. But here's the thing. Those are the same people that have been responsible for the destruction of our borders in the United States, and in Canada, in Europe, any place that would have been traditionally white people. That's why our borders have been destroyed, and it's the same people, this very same invisible hand that was behind the Dresden, the same invisible hand that's behind the destruction of the borders. But they're the same hand that's behind financing these illegal aliens. And when Gene comes on the third hour, he's going to talk about $59 million in 1 week taken from the taxpayers. Nary a penny given to our people in North Carolina and East Tennessee that were just completely devastated by the hurricane some months ago. No money for them, but millions and millions of dollars for these blacks, these savage feral blacks is being put up in the luxury hotels in New York City. And that's not bad enough. Luxury hotels owned by foreign countries, I think Indonesia. But it's just a slap in the face. But that the point of that is our people is solution. A little solution. You have to know about this virulent hatred forever. You have to know about the lies. And Sister Monica, do you have anything to add to that?
No, you're absolutely right, and you're on a roll. Just to clarify, because it might have just been accidental that you misspoke there, or I might have misunderstood it, but those refugees that were in Dresden were German refugees. I'm not sure if you
didn't some escape, like they were white people from other Eastern countries that were fleeing the raping Red Army.
They were Germans. Okay. You see, what people need to understand is that Germany used to be a lot bigger than it is now, because Germans inhabited like a large, much larger area. Germany got shrunk in World War One, and then it got shrunk some more after World War Two. They basically redrew the borders where Germans had been living for hundreds of years, many hundreds of years in some cases. They had to flee. And then after the war, I think it was like 1948, even as late as 48, but also right after the war, Germans were just basically given zero notice, like just, you know, a few minutes type of thing, pack your bag and leave and go on foot. And they were expelled. So there were the expellees. But I'm talking during the war still. It was German people fleeing from these points further east is what I said, but they were German people. Germany used to be a lot bigger, like half of what is today Poland was Germany.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, the borders, I'm glad we're bringing this up because I didn't realize that wasn't clear. No, these were German, because I made the comparison that it's not the kind of refugees that you have these days and a bunch of Africans or Indians from, you know, from India or whatever. No, these were German people, ethnically German people who were, then the country got shrunk. And they, I mean, yeah, so they had to leave. Low estimates are 16 million Germans then after the war had to leave. Those are the ones who had stayed behind that hadn't already fled during the war, you know, because they wanted to stay. They didn't imagine it could be that bad as it did become. I mean, the largest mass rape of women took place at the end of the war, there near the end of the war, and then after the war. And then the expellees, that was the largest mass human expulsion that we know of in history. Maybe there were larger ones at other times that are not in that we don't know of. I don't, you know, we just don't know. But that's the largest one that we know of. And estimates range from, I think, 16 million. Some people have even estimated 20 million. Germans had to flee.
Sister Monica,
and so Germany got shrunk. These are German refugees. And then German refugees who have to go to the bombed out Germany it was unbelievable times, you know, where they're already bombed out and hardly able to, you know, feed themselves. And then all these, you know, their brethren coming from points. It was terrible times.
And I'd like to restate what your mother said. Not only why Dresden, but why Germany? Why was Germany so hated?
That's a huge. The Jews have hated the Germans for hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of years. The Germans are probably the most opposite folk of the Jews. And
we have
there's a lot to that.
As soon as we can, we have to expand upon that in another broadcast. Dear Blood River Radio audience, thank you so much for tuning in. But hang on, we're going to transition to the third hour. We're going to bring on the bitter ender himself. Thank you so much, Sister Monica. God bless you. You did a wonderful, wonderful job.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sister Monica. Bye-bye. Dear people, we're an emotional program. We will be back in just a minute or two. This is a 5-minute break. Go get you some coffee.